We're going to be looking at that Psalm 41. So have that open. I'm going to be closely following that. It's an insult to be called weak, isn't it? If someone calls you weak, it's actually they're putting you down. Everybody wants to be winners. You know, second is just really somewhere close to last. Nobody remembers who finishes second. But friends, we all at some time are weak. Even today, you might think you are the strong. You might feel today you are physically strong, you are spiritually strong, you are mentally strong. But tomorrow, it could all change. Men, you could wake up with the deadly man flu tomorrow. And that will put you out for weeks. You see, we all are vulnerable at some stage in our life. If you've done safe ministry training here at this church or another church, you might have noticed that over the last couple of years, safe ministry went from being just safe ministry to doing safe ministry with children to being safe ministry with vulnerable people. Because our churches are full of vulnerable people. We are often the weak. You see, we might English might not be our first language. We become vulnerable. We have an ailment of some sort. We become vulnerable. The older we get, the more vulnerable we become. We come here for the first time and we don't know anyone. We are vulnerable. You're at a party and you don't know anyone else. You feel vulnerable. You walk down a dark lane at night, you become vulnerable. There's a statistic I heard the other day that says that for the majority of people in their life, they will be vulnerable between 8 and 20 years of their whole life. We are more weak, we are more vulnerable than we actually think we are. The Bible gives us much to think about when it comes to being weak. In fact, the Bible is countercultural when it talks about weakness. The Bible says things like, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Turn the other cheek. Don't think of yourself too highly. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you, just to quote a few verses. But the more we look at the world, the more we see that the world admires strength. Weakness is not something to be looked up to in the world. You know, fame and fortune is the game. You are the most important person. If your marriage is not working for you, just get out of it. Be strong. Be the one. Today we'll not fully explore what it is to be weak and what the Bible tells us all there is to be about being weak. But King David, as he writes this psalm, has much to say to us about what it is to be weak. Living with God. So let me pray and we'll look at Psalm 41. Father God, we thank you for this new day. We do thank you that it is a good day because it is the day that you have given us. Help us as we look at your word to know what it is to be weak and to find our strength in you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The thing to remember about why the Psalms is written and the way they're written is that they are deeply personal. When you read the Psalm, you read that when in the majority of the times when the person is writing the Psalm, it is deeply something that has affected them and it explains what's going on in their lives. And you might notice that the psalmist often starts down here. But when he gets to the end of the psalm, he's up here. He starts with the low point of his life and then he realizes how good life is. And he helps us as we go through psalm to see that is exactly what happens in our life. So let's come to verse 1 of Psalm 41. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. If you're following along in your outline, you'll see that my first point this morning is helping in weakness. David, in verse 1, calls people to have regard for those who are weak, to look out for those who are vulnerable. What is it to actually have regard for the weak? See, I think it's more than just bringing a present when we put the Christmas tree out at Christmas time for Anglicare. As good as that is, it's very removed from actual personal relationship, isn't it? And often we do something like that at Christmas to appease our guilt because we probably haven't had regard for the weak all year and we'll just buy a $20 present, wrap it up and put it under the tree. Now, I don't want to belittle that. I think we should do that. And for some of us, maybe that's all we're able to do for whatever reason. But I want us to think about what it is to have regard for the weak. It's more than just a one-off thing that we do. It must be a thing that motivates us as we live our life for God. What will it mean to go out of our way to perhaps drive someone somewhere? To perhaps cook a meal for someone we know that is struggling? To invite someone over to lunch? To seek out the weak and not wait for the weak to come to us? To go and shop for someone? To pay a bill for another? How are you going with that? How are you going with having regard for the weak? Let me tell you some of my feeble excuses. I'm too busy. I don't want to offend someone. I already give. I don't have to give anymore. It might be uncomfortable. We don't have anything in common. I might get ripped off. I don't know what to say to such a person. It won't lead to anything. The language barrier is too much. Now, some of those excuses are reasonable. However, what tends to happen is because we have one excuse, therefore we have excuse for everything. What we need to do is have an attitude, and I need to have an attitude that thinks more outside of myself, outside of ourself. Looking for the vulnerable, looking for the weak, looking for the despised, looking for the minority. We must work hard at becoming people who help others fit in. We must work hard at not trying to be the in crowd. And here's the thing, David says that in verse 1, those who look after the weak, who have regard for the weak, will actually be blessed by God. Come to verse 2 and 3. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. Now we need to be careful about how we take those promises that God gives us about blessing. But essentially, what David is saying here is that if you look after the poor, God will look after you. That's his promise. He wants us to look after those who are weak, and God will look after us. That's where we go by faith. So it's as if when we're a Christian, we have this sort of grace bubble around us. When we follow God, God protects his people. He cares for his own. See, we don't have regard for the weak so that God will bless us, but because God has already blessed us, therefore, we have regard for the weak. we get it in the right order. If you're coming and wanting to reward, and so then you look after the weak, you will not get your reward. You will not be blessed because your motivation is wrong. And so we're called to have regard for the weak. Secondly, this morning we'll look at living in weakness. There's a saying in business that you should always treat those you jump over on the way up the ladder very kindly, because they will often be your boss on the way back down. And it's very true. See, this is true in all walks of life. Because sometimes, even though you think you're strong, you can soon become the weak. And David here describes what it's like for him when he lives in weakness. Verse 4 says, O Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. David is now the weak. And he sees that in this weakness, there needs to be healing. And he says that he has this affliction upon him. Why? Because he says he has sinned. David recognizes he's become the weak because of something he's done. The situation David finds himself in, we're not really sure what that is, but whatever it is, David has now become the vulnerable. Even though he's the king of Israel, he has become the weak. Not only are his enemies pursuing him, we'll find that he's been betrayed by someone close to him. Let's read the next verses from verse 5. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely, while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. See, even though David is favoured by God and has been appointed the king, he's not exempt from weakness. He's not exempt from hard times. And David knows that even though he's still favoured by God, even though everyone else will fall away, God will still be there. And so this is exactly why some of the Psalms are written, so that we can feel the impact of this. See, this is God speaking to us in every stage of life. God understands that there will be times when we have to live in weakness. For whatever reason, forever how long it is, we must trust that God will still be there. And sometimes, like David, we are in weakness because of our sin. Not always, but often it's because of something we do or have done or are doing that causes us to stumble and to live in weakness. See, just because you follow the Lord does not mean you're exempt from troubles in your life. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to have enemies. In fact, it'll give you more enemies. Many of you will know this because you talk about Jesus and you're shut down. You have less friends to talk to at work. Perhaps your family don't really want to dialogue with you because they know that you're going to bring up that subject. You're going to talk about Jesus. I doubt we'll have enemies like David trying to kill him. These people despise David deeply. He could feel them talking behind his back. He knew what was going on. Rumors were spreading about him. They were trying to undermine him. In verse 9, it talks about a friend who betrayed him in language that very much reminds us of the language in the Last Supper, where Judas betrayed Jesus. See, there's nothing like desperation to make you realize that many of the things that we take for granted, the many things we lean on to give us joy, in fact, can be taken away very quickly. Sometimes we spend all our time looking for blessings from God all over the place, when in fact it's right here in front of us. It's having God with us every day. God's very presence and the status of being His child. And of course, in the blink of an eye, our life can turn, can't it? So David calls out to God in verse 10. He says, "But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them." Now, I'm not sure if David is actually talking about wiping out his enemies. We've got to remember he's the king. He's able to punish those who don't do the right thing in the kingdom. So very much it's a king-type language. But like in many psalms, this takes us for a ride. It's taken us down to the bottom. It's helped us to think about what it is to help in weakness. It's helped us to think about what it is to live in weakness. But now, David takes us to what it is to win in weakness. David has acknowledged his sin. He understands that though he's faced with opposition and trials, he has now been forgiven. He can live as someone who's been forgiven. Let's go to verse 11. David says to God, "I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." See, he is now confident, not arrogant. And there's a difference between the two. David is not arrogant, he's confident. Confident that God has forgiven him. And no matter what now, he is a winner. Because he's been forgiven and is walking with God. See, the Lord wants us all to know that despite often what we see and what we feel in this life, we can win in weakness. Because we stand with Jesus. Because Jesus came in all the power of God and yet humbled himself to a cross at the hands of sinful men. The very act that would make those same men right with God. It is a mistake to think that God does not understand our weakness. Or does not understand our trials. You see, God knows what it's like to be weak, to be vulnerable, because we see it displayed in the Lord Jesus. See, that's what Jesus went through. See, we look at the New Testament and we see the life of the disciples, and they were the weak and the despised. The Apostle Paul, as he was ministering in his ministry and mission work, his life was not easy. He described a certain affliction that he had. We're not sure what it is. It could have been poor sight, but we're not sure. But he called it a thorn in his side. He said, "I have a thorn in my side." And he prayed to God. He said, "God, can you take this away from me? Because I want to serve you with all my heart, but this is just holding me back." And Paul tells us that three times he prayed that prayer, that he wanted God to take that thorn away because he felt it was holding him back. And he wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12. You'll see it there. "God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power might rest on me.'" See, in fact, friends, without weakness, we have little room for the work of God. You see, we need to be weak to allow God to work through us. Because when we think we're strong, we think we don't need God. See, God is not calling us to a life of weakness in the way that the world sees weakness. But rather, he's calling us to be weak in ourselves so we might be made strong in him. See, that's how Jesus gave us victory over Satan, through his death. Through Jesus' weakness, we have victory. When Jesus could have called on all his angels to take him off the cross, he didn't. Because in his weakness, he died in power. In his weakness, he gave us victory. We are strong because of Jesus' weakness for us by going to the cross. So friends, help others in their weakness. Confess your sins. Live with your weakness. But praise be to God that he uses our weakness to give us victory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he humbled himself to become a man, that he went to the cross, that he was the despised, the minority, the vulnerable, the weak. And Father, in his weakness, he became strong because he trusted you. Father, we pray for all of us. We pray for our weaknesses, the things that make us vulnerable, the things that we struggle with, whatever they may be, whether they're for all of our life or just a stage. We pray, Lord, that we will give them to you. We pray, like the Apostle Paul, that in our weakness we might become strong, that we might become strong for you, that your glory might shine in our weakness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.